that whatever else I say, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is uplifted and praised. Continuing in Philippians 3 and it's verse 8, the apostle says this to the Philippians, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish." Leaving the sentence there, it goes on. God willing, we'll carry on next Sunday morning. But that's the text. "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish." Philippians 3, verse 8. Now, not very briefly, but I must remind you of what the apostle is doing here and why I'm doing it. The apostle is dealing with something which was very common in the early church, namely that Jewish teachers were moving amongst the believers and teaching them that if they would be saved, this faith in Christ is not enough. The thing they picked on in their day was circumcision. And they demanded that circumcision be undergone. And if a man was circumcised, and I suppose he believed in Christ, he would be saved. But I don't know if you know the parable of the camel's nose. The camel is outside the tent, and he puts his nose in. At the end of the parable, the man's outside the tent and the camel's inside. And as soon as you start to introduce this word "and" in this gospel business, it isn't long before the camel's nose has got himself completely inside the tent. What am I saying? You can start off with Jesus Christ and, you can put what you like there, these people are putting circumcision there, but it's lots long before it's circumcision and Jesus Christ. And it's not long before it's circumcision, full stop. Now, some of you are looking at me as though I'm making this up, you know. Well, I'm not making it up, I assure you. It was a very, very real problem in the early church. Romans has got it. Galatians has got it. Philippians has got it. Ephesians have got it. Hebrews has got it. I don't know where it hasn't got it in the New Testament. Is all over the New Testament. And the great man who stood against it is Paul. And he fought it tooth and nail. And for one, I'm absolutely delighted and relieved, I think is the word, that he did. It cost him dearly, but he did it. Why I'm dealing with this passage, Paul is dealing with this passage to deal with the problem at Philippi. He's making these people at Philippi realize that if you listen to these Jewish teachers and you introduce that Jewish idea of circumcision, it may just come in as a tenth to start with. But I don't care how much you bring in, he says, as soon as you bring in this "and," Jesus Christ "and," you've ruined the gospel, he says. Ruined it. Oh, what does that matter? You'll go to hell. He talks about destruction in this passage. I happen still to believe with the apostle that there is a place of everlasting torment. I believe I'm not standing in this pulpit to talk about round trees, fruit gums, or how to play chess. I'm dealing with the souls of men for everlasting life or everlasting damnation. That's what I believe I'm about. I don't believe I'm here just to argue out a few texts. I believe all of us in this room, and everybody can hear me on the CD, whatever it maybe goes, I believe all of us soon will be standing before this Almighty God and have to face him, and then will come eternal condition, state, life or death. I believe myself there is no other name under heaven given among men. Muhammad, Buddha, circumcision, you name it. Only Jesus Christ, says the apostles. Now, that's my position. I say with respect to those in authority here, if you do not agree with me, if you want a broader gospel, if you want a wider opening, if you want, then you must look for another preacher quick. God give me grace, as long as I've got breath in my body, there shall only be one name come out of my lips. Jesus Christ. Ah, well, that's 2,000 years ago, David. No, my friend. I had a person in my house this week telling me to my face when I asked her, how can I be saved? Now, what would you say, my friend? Now, come on, what would you say? How can I be saved? That's what I'm talking about. How can I be saved? This lady did not mince her words. She told me, you must keep the Torah, the law. You must keep the law. It wasn't circumcision, I quite agree, although that came into the conversation. It wasn't Sabbath keeping, although that came into the conversation. It wasn't the feast, although that came in. It wasn't kosher foods, but all that was in it. But I had, as long as my heart was after the law, then God would be merciful to me. Do you believe that? I said, I'll look you in the eye. I won't put a name, but I can give it. I said, I'll look you in the eye. And I'll say to you, you have, if that's your hope, you have no hope. Now ask me. And this is what I will say. I'll repeat the words of another. How can I be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. If you can't hear the difference, my friend, then you must be as deaf as I am. I got some deaf in my ears this morning. You must be as deaf as I am. Well, more deaf than I am. You must be blind if you can't see it. Keep the law. You see, it's not 2,000 years ago. That's 48 hours ago. Sitting at my table. Closer to me than you. Telling me. If you would be saved, you must keep the Torah. My friend said, does that mean circumcision? Yes. Does that mean Sabbath? Yes. Does that mean foods? Yes. Does that mean the feast? Yes. So in other words, if I am circumcised, if I keep the Sabbath, if I do this, then I'll be saved. Yes. How was David saved? She told me. David sinned. Did he not? He coveted a woman. He was adulterous with a woman. He murdered a man. How was he saved? How was he delivered from that? What would you say? Purge me with hyssop. Wash me. In prophetic language, what is he talking about? What is he talking about in prophetic language? He isn't talking about hyssop. He's talking about the blood of Christ, isn't he? He's seeing in a picture form, right? No, no, says this lady. No, no. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. He was not covered with blood. No, no, no. Do you know what made him right? Because his heart wanted to please God by keeping the Torah. Can you hear the difference? Can you hear the difference? A man who's trusting the blood and merits of Christ, and a man who's got his eye on the Torah. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing the great Torah's praise. My friend, there's no man in the room can beat me for saying how much I think the Word of God and the Torah in particular, yeah, tremendous. But I'm not saved by the Torah. I'm not saved by this book. I'm saved by the Christ of this book. This is what Paul is wrestling with. And if he was alive today, if he'd have been in my room, he would have wrestled with this lady better than I did. Spiritually, I mean. Why? Look at him here. Well, last time we saw that he said this. All these Jewish things that they want to talk about. He said, I've got them all, he said. But you see, that's nothing to me now. Now, in verse 8, he goes on again. What is more? I'll go further, he said. I'll go further than what I went last time. Last time I told you this, that all my Jewish background, all my kosher foods, all my circumcision, all my Jewishness, you name it, all my Torah keeping, you tell me, that's loss. Loss, he says it. I'm not making it up, he says it, loss. But now he goes further. What is more, he said. What is more, I consider everything. Everything a loss. There is nothing in the world, he says, to be mentioned in the same breath as the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying. I look at everything in my life. They talk about these Jewish things, fair enough. Let's talk about anything you like, my friend. Call out any word you want. How about baptism? Call that out. Let's have that. Yes, okay, baptism. That's a very wonderful thing. I love to baptize believers. I love to plunge them. I love to make the testimony before men. I love to preach upon the subject and to show men what being saved is. Wonderful thing. But when it comes to Christ and baptism and this matter we're talking about, don't you mention baptism to me, my friend. Don't you mention baptism to me. The poor thief on the cross could not be baptized, could he? It's all right. Yeah. I don't mind coming in late. It's all right. The poor thief on the cross could not be baptized, could he? You can't be baptized, my friend, in a proper way when you're nailed to a cross. Not at all. But I'll listen to my Saviour. Today, thou shalt be with me. Now, you can have your difficulties about that text, my friend. You can argue about it. But so long as I'm with Jesus, I'll let him do the arguing for me. And what got him there? Baptism? Lord, remember me. Lord, of thee only will I make mention. How about the Lord's Supper? Precious, precious. How about preaching? How about the Bible? How about reading the Bible? How about declaring the gospel? Oh, tell me these things, my friend. Come on, ask me. And I will tell you this. Precious they are. Wonderful they might be. Yes, they are. But we're talking about salvation. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing Jesus' name. Jesus only. Jesus. For the sake, he says. Now, I say the sake. But notice how this man piles on what we call hyperbole. That means he uses exaggerated words. Now, you've spotted it in me. I'm very prone to exaggeration. Yeah, you've got it, yeah. I noticed Paul was. Surpassing. Greatness. He can't find the words, can he, my friend? Let's ask him. You didn't know what to say, Paul. No, I could not convey to my readers what I really know is in the Lord Jesus. Snap, Paul. Snap. I know what you mean. I'm in the same position. I want to tell these dear people here that there's more in the Lord Jesus Christ than they'll ever know in this life, than ever I know. The best preacher would have been in heaven. Come back and tell us. God doesn't choose to do that. He lets people like me stand up and splutter. But if he could send... No, this is the way he's done it. But what would it be like? There's a hymn in one of our hymn books I like. We speak of the realms of the blessed and all the rest of it. But what would it be to be there? What would it be? I see the Lord Jesus Christ very dimly, my friend. Very dimly. I know that when John saw him in the first revelation, he fell down at his feet as dead. He was so overwhelmed by him. I know there's more loveliness, more preciousness, more goodness, more everything else in the Lord Jesus Christ than any poor mortal could say. For the surpassing greatness. And then this word, of knowing Christ. You see, let's listen to these chaps for a moment.
Now, you've got to eat these certain foods. Did you know that food's wrong?
And that's a very interesting topic, isn't it?
Should we talk about that? Those days, now they're very important days. Now, it's got to be exactly those days and hours. You know that? Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Would you like a sermon on that? Would you like a sermon on infralapsarianism? Next Sunday morning, tell me. I'll give you a sermon on infralapsarianism. And Sunday evening, well, 3 o'clock, I'll give you another sermon on superlapsarianism. And we'll have a debate about it and then see which is right. Would you like that? Would that profit you? I want you to say no. I want you to say I want Christ. We'll talk about doctrines another time. We'll talk about these days. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he says. And look, he doesn't say I want to know about him. See, that's been my trouble for 50 years. I spent a lot of time knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, reading about him. Thinking about him. Lovely. But Paul is talking about something much more personal and intimate than that. He wants to know him. He wants to feel him. It's the most lovely word you hear. He wants to be intimately related with him. He wants to be one with him. Oh, that I could love him more. It's not obvious in the English. Oh, it is. No, I'm wrong. That's good. The NIV's got it right, yeah. I like the NIV, but that'll shock some of you, but it's my personal Bible at home, so don't. If that shocks you, I'm sorry, but it's got it right here too. Did you notice in verse 7 it was in the past tense? Whatever was to my profit. Verse 8 is in the present tense. Now, what may not be obvious to you, there's 30 years between those two verses. See, in verse 8, he's talking about the Damascus Road. Or his time in Damascus. I'll use this phrase, I don't mean it, the penny dropped. I don't mean that, the lights, I don't know. When he was confronted with the Christ, it all came home to him. All what he'd been doing up to now, all this Jewishness, all this working, all this striving, all this trying to please God was rubbish. It had to be Christ. And he said it so. What do you want me to do, Lord? Here I am. I'm yours. Tell me. See, that's verse 7. But verse 8, he's moved on 30 years. Now, this is a great test, you know, in religion. Cast your own mind back 30 years. Some of you can go back 50, 60 years in this, 70 years perhaps. I don't know. I can go back 50 odd. Some of you can go back a little more, perhaps. Remember those early days? And your heart was alive for Christ and burning for Christ and you wanted Christ and so on. Now, my friend, what is it like today? Are you of the same conviction? You thought he was God, did you not, in the 50s? I did. I still think he's God. You wanted to serve him in the 50s or 60s or 40s. Yes, you still want to serve him. But Paul is not saying that. He's saying, do you know, I feel more intensely today. It's more to me today. He is more to me today than ever he was 30 years ago. You see, because in those days I realized my Jewishness, well, that was nothing. Now, he said, I've come to realize that everything. Everything. Is nothing. Is a loss. Oh, my friend, I wish I could preach this to you. There's something here which is phenomenal. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, Paul may be mad, I don't know. I mean, you may think that. You may think that he's off his rocker. But say he's right. Apparently, he has found in the Lord Jesus Christ something so precious that there is nothing in all the world that will compare to him. Is there somebody here who looks at the churches and you see that we're a rabble? Well, you're dead right, my friend. We know more about that rabble business than you do. We know how. You see a lot of hypocrites. Come afterwards and I'll tell you quite a bit about our hypocrisy. We're all hypocrites, that's quite right. But you're making a dead mistake, my friend, a big, bad mistake. You're judging Christianity by us. I know you should. But really, you want to judge Christianity by Christ. Have a look at him. Well, I don't see anything in him. There's no beauty in him that I should desire him. That tells me more about you than it does about the Lord Jesus. This man says, the more I've known him these 30 years, the more I want to know him. Another feature about this passage, if you look at it, I make the same mistake as he does. He repeats himself over and over again. He goes on and on and on, saying the same thing time after time. Why? Because he's trying to drum it into these Philippians that don't go home without Christ. And don't listen to these teachers. Don't give them house room. Don't attempt to follow their doctrines. They're clouding you to Jesus. They're taking your eye off Christ. And Paul could say that I have lost all things. He lost his life, you know. He did. And he had no need to lose his life. But he lost his life for Christ. He lost his freedom. He had no need to lose it. He lost his reputation. This man he lost his career. He had a tremendous career in front of him, you know. He was the leader amongst his people. He'd have gone right to the top. But he says, I look at all that. I look at my learning. I look at my opportunities. I look at my prospects. And I say that that is all lost to me compared to knowing Christ. He doesn't say I've lost all things because he regrets it. He would say, as he said time and again in this passage, I've explained it to you, that everything compared to Christ is a loss. I have gained all things, and more than all things, by knowing Christ. And in fact, he uses a graphic illustration. In the NIV, it's the word rubbish. In your authorized version, it's the word dung, I think you'll find. And I used to think, until I'd studied this passage, I used to think that the NIV and the modern versions had been a bit squeamish here, and they'd been a bit frightened, and thought they would sanitize God's word. But I have come to see that I was wrong. That the NIV is, in fact, with the word rubbish, spot on. And I'll explain why. He calls these teachers, he doesn't have a pleasant name for them, he calls them dogs. That's what he calls them. Paul is not going to mince his words. These are not nice people. They may be nice and pleasant people, but their teaching is leading men away from Christ, and nothing could be worse than that. My friend, what would you think of me if you told me you were going to Joe Bloggs down the road to get your car mended tomorrow because your brakes are wrong? And I happen to know that Joe Bloggs is useless at fixing brakes. Would you thank me if I told you next week, after you've had your lousy accident because you've got no brakes? I could have told you that last week. What would you say to me? Joe Bloggs is a nice garage man. He's got a lovely house. The trouble with Joe Bloggs is he can't fix brakes. And you want your brakes fixed. I did hear this story once. There were two men standing on a garage. I may have told you before, it's two men standing on a garage forecourt. The garage owner and a man standing there. And a lady drove off in her car. She just collected it and drove off. And she just drove off out into the dark. And the garage man looked to his mate and he said, her clutch is going, you know. Her clutch is going. He said, well, why ever didn't you tell her? She's a midwife. She has to go out on the moors to deliver babies in the middle of the night. And you let her go with no clutch. Paul doesn't look at these teachers and say, oh, well, you know, they're nice people. He says they're evil dogs. And his picture here is of a feast. And we're eating meat. And when we eat meat, you have to go back to the Middle Ages and way back to get the real picture. I know today we're much more, what's the word I want? Well, sanitized, I was going to say, but much more decorous, aren't we, or something? Much more refined, that's it. Yeah, we're much more refined. We won't do this. But back in the old days, they'd eat their bones and chuck them to the dogs, wouldn't they? You know, you've seen it on the telly, the films, haven't you? You see, they eat their bones and chuck it to the dogs. That's rubbish. That's what he says. All this Jewish stuff, all these other things, it's rubbish, he said. It's no use at all. It's bones. Shall I tell you what these people are thinking about this morning? They're thinking about whether it's the Hebrew or Greek scriptures. They're thinking about whether the English people are the tribe of X, Y, or Z. They're wondering whether the Pakistani people are the tribes of Joseph. They're thinking about exactly how to keep this particular part of the law. Do you find that edifying, my friend? Do you find that thrilling? That you want to hear sermons on things like that? This man says that's dry bones. That's just no meat on it at all. And what he's telling me as a preacher, whenever you get up to preach, whenever you put pen to paper, make sure you always tell him about Christ, because all the rest is rubbish. And my friend, if you have found Christ, you have found the pearl of greatest price. And if you haven't found Christ, if you don't know him, then you may have everything this world can afford. But I tell you now, looking you in the eye, you have nothing at all. You may have gained the whole world, but you will lose your own soul. But if you have Christ, you may have to lose all other things. But if you have Christ, with this apostle's testimony, I believe it to be right. Trusting Christ and finding him, you have found everything. I cannot imagine a circumstance where this truth will not satisfy. A man likes to have a strong body. But one day he will be aged and infirm and cracked and broken. A man might like to ascend the mountains, but one day he won't even be able to climb the stairs. A man might like to go and do all the tours of the world and see every sight there is. Go on, pile it up, my friend. But I know of only one thing, and it's not a thing, it's a person. That will meet me on a deathbed, at a graveside, whatever the news, whatever my circumstances. I cannot think of any circumstance where this doctrine, this Jesus Christ, my Jesus Christ, he says, Jesus Christ, my Lord, he's with me in the prison in Rome. He's with me as I go to the block. He's with me when I stand before Agrippa. He's with me when they laugh at me. He'd be with me when I go into the grave. Have I told you the hymn I once sang at my graveside? Thou hast lain here, Lord Jesus, in this cold, dark, cold grave. Thou hast lain here. He'd be with me in the grave. He'd be with me in the coffin. He'd be with me when I rise from the dead. He'd be with me forever. Money, possessions, power. I'd rather have Jesus than be the king of a vast domain. I think that's what the apostle is saying. My friend, I don't want to preach it.
I do. But I want to live it. I want to know him and the power of his life and the power of his resurrection. And let them keep their Jewish trash. Let them keep their worldly ways. As for me, Jesus Christ my Lord, says the apostle. I don't know whether you go with me, my friend. Making a fuss about nothing. I wish I could have made a bigger fuss about it. I condemn myself for not lifting Christ high enough to you before this morning. Oh, that I could lift him up so that thousands would see him and want him and know him. I must leave it there, my friend. Just have a look at the passage for yourself, and may God open this scripture to you, and may he open Christ to you if he has never done so before. Shall we sing our last hymn, which you will know very well, Immortal Honours?